All right, welcome back, y'all. Another episode of Ballin' with Tyler Todd. You know, I already know who it is, and if you don't, it's Tyler. I'm the host of this podcast, and today we have, oh my gosh, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. And it's mainly just, it's really just going to be baseball today, but the trade deadline was this past Tuesday. So August 2nd, the trade deadline ended at 3 p.m. our time, so 6 p.m. Eastern time. So 3 p.m. here in Arizona. And good golly gosh, I don't even know where to begin. It still doesn't feel like it's realistic. But the Padres pulled off probably the biggest trade, at least in my lifetime, and one of the bigger trades probably to go down in MLB baseball history, just period. They were able to go out and get out arguably one of the best right fielders in baseball, Juan Soto, and then one of the best first basemen in baseball at the moment, Josh Bell. So for all you that don't know, let's look at the. I'll read the little trade deal back and forth so people, because I know it's been obviously four days whatever. But so this is the trade right here. So the Padres get Juan Soto and first baseman Josh Bell. Then the Nationals get shortstop C.J. Abrams, who entered the season as the Padres' top prospect and number 9 overall by MLB Pipeline. Obviously, I was very excited to have him in our lineup eventually, but there really was going to be no spot for him because Tatis, once he comes back, shortstop is his position. So, if anything, we'd have to convert Abrams to an outfielder, but that just wasn't the plan moving forward. Next prospect, left-hander Mackenzie Gore, San Diego's preseason number 4 prospect. He was going to be our future ace number 1 guy. Definitely bummed that he's not a Padre anymore, but just that's the sacrifice you have to make. Next on this, outfielder Robert Hassel III, the Friars' top prospect at the time of the trade, number 21 overall prospect in MLB. He is an outfield prospect. Obviously, that's not an issue anymore because you have Soto just filling in that spot now, and Soto, I mean, I'm assuming will be better than Hassel because prospects you take a gamble on, we know that Soto is good and for Soto's resume. We'll get to that shortly. Next prospect, outfielder James Wood, the Padres' number 3 prospect, number 88 overall. Right-hander Jarlin Susana, San Diego's number 14th prospect. And then lastly, which was probably the biggest douche thing ever, was going to be Eric Hosmer was supposed to be part of the deal. And he pretty much was like trending that day on Instagram, Twitter, just Instagram, everything sports. He was pretty much trending because he has a no team trade clause. It's like 10, 15 teams that are on his list he does not want to be traded to. And the Nationals was one of them. He ended up declining the trade offer. So the trade still goes through, but he's not going to Washington. So instead, unfortunately, we had to ship off first baseman and DH Luke Voit, who we traded for this past offseason. And that's all Hosmer's fault, because Hosmer would not go to Washington, and Luke Voit really had no choice. Hey, dude, you're getting dealt. Sorry. And now Hosmer, we dealt him away. He's in Boston. So we lost two first basemen, DHs slash DHs, but we got Josh Bell in return, who this year. So now that was the that's the trade details right there. So just imagine a lineup when Tatis comes back. Oh, I don't know. Having a 2-3-4 hole of Tatis, Soto, Machado. Oh, then casually having Josh Bell in the 5 hole, then Cronenworth in the 6 hole, then Grisham in the 9th hole, and then Nola or Alfaro in the 6 or 7 hole, Will Myers in the 8 hole, then Jerks and Profar at the leadoff spot. Like, and that's all interchangeable. And then we have Ha-Seong Kim off the bench. And then also, another massive pickup at the deadline was Brandon Drury from the Cincinnati Reds. And meanwhile, while we're talking about that guy, I'll pull up his stats real quick. You can hear me typing. This is live, people. Duh. So as of right now, this season, he is hitting, here we go, 272, 21 home runs, 97 hits, 63 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, an OBP of 336, a slugging of 522, an OPS of 858, and then an OPS plus of 127. Oh, yeah, and then casually in his first at-bat as a Padre on Wednesday, he hits a grand slam on the first pitch. Oh, gosh, I'm just so freaking excited. I am so stoked. Finally, San Diego sports. Not even just San Diego sports, but an owner, Peter Seidler, and our GM, AJ Preller, giving an absolute shit about winning in San Diego. Thank you, finally, for someone that actually cares and doesn't give a shit about money and leaving for LA. Dean Spanos, I'm talking about you. Ballmer, I'm talking about you for the Clippers. All these D-bags. They are the only team that has left in San Diego. Please make it a winning culture. We absolutely, the fans actually go cuckoo for the Padres in San Diego. Oh my gosh. And that Wednesday game with Soto, Drury, and Bell getting finally announced into the lineup, their first start as Padres. Oh my gosh. It doesn't get any better than that. So it's an incredible feeling being a Padre fan, obviously. So pretty much moving forward now, in my opinion, the Dodgers still are the best team in the National League aside from the Braves and the Mets. But I'm going to look at the standings right now. So the standings as of right now for the National League is the Dodgers in first. So the National League West, excuse me. The Dodgers in first at 72-33. So that is an insane record. The Padres at 61-47. The Giants in third, 51-55. The D-backs 46-58 in fourth. And the Rockies in last place at 47-61. So the Padres are in second, 12 and a half games out from first. Truthfully, I don't think they're going to catch the Dodgers. I really don't think anyone's going to. But if we look at the wild card standings, right, as of right now, the Padres, I think, are... Okay, here we go. Sorry, excuse me. Here we go. Okay, so... And all wild card teams, the Padres are the second team. And they are 2.5 games out from the first place spot in the wild card behind the Braves, who are 63-43. Right behind them is Milwaukee at 57-48. Same with the Phillies and the St. Louis Cardinals, all with the same record, tied for third. So the Padres are definitely going to make the playoffs. It's just they're not going to win the division because the Dodgers are already at 72 wins. And that's, again, just like last year, freaking over 100 wins last year. Definitely will top it this year again. Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Trey Turner, Clayton Kershaw, Tony Gonsolin, Tyler Anderson. I mean, shit, the list goes on, okay? Freaking Dodgers are loaded. But finally, Padres making some insane moves. And the best part about getting Juan Soto and Josh Bell, Juan Soto, we get him for the rest of this year, and then 2 more years of contract control, and then maybe we could extend him. I have no idea how we would. We already have $300 million tied up with Machado and $350 with Tatis. So I have no clue how that would work. Maybe Soto takes $400 million or takes $380 or something. I have no idea. Yes, I know he turned down $440 million from the Nationals, but that was because that franchise one is terrible as of right now. They weren't previously. When he showed up, they were a very good franchise, but they're terrible now. They're getting new ownership. Just not a winning culture at the moment. They're in a rebuild phase. Doesn't want to be a part of it. He wants to win now. So that's currently the state of how he feels, but I just don't know if we'll re-sign him when the 2 years is up, but Josh Bell is a free agent after the end of this year. I'm not sure if we're going to re-sign him because you could just have Will Myers play first because he's still under contract because I think this next upcoming year, so 2023 season, because this is 22, the 2023 season, Myers, I'm pretty sure that's his last year of his contract and he's owed a lot of money. So I don't know if we're going to dump Myers' contract this last year, re-sign Josh Bell, maybe do a cheaper one, but Josh Bell will be more expensive because he is a better player than Will Myers, but I'm not entirely sure. So this offseason is going to be absolutely just ridiculous. But now going more into the players, who we got in that return, Juan Soto, the dude is an absolute animal. Being compared to Ted Williams, Tony Gwynn, has power. Obviously, Ted Williams and Tony Gwynn were very just pure contact average hitters, and you really don't see that. You really don't see guys hit over 300 in their career anymore, and it's just incredible. So Juan Soto, a two-time All-Star, Home Run Derby champ, two-time Silver Slugger, a batting title, won a World Series in 2019 at the age of like 19 or 20 years old. So it's just absolutely incredible. I'm so glad we got him. He's seriously one of the best young talents we have in baseball. Arguably one of the best right fielders in baseball. Looking at his stats as of this year, average is less desirable, 249, but has 21 home runs, 87 hits, 46 RBI, 6 stolen bases, an OBP of 410, a slugging of 491, and an OPS of 902, and then an OPS plus of 161. So the dude is an absolute monster, okay? And if we're just looking back on just like his stats just from previous years, okay, 2019, he had 34 home runs and 110 RBIs. Okay. It seriously isn't. That's his. That was the World Series year, 2019. Also had an average of .282, an OBP of .401, a slugging of .548, and an OPS of .949. And then casually the next year, he hits 13 home runs, 37 RBIs, because this is COVID season, a .351 batting average, a .490 OBP, a .695 slugging, and an OPS over one. And then continues on the rampage next year, last year, 29 home runs, 95 RBIs, 145 walks. He also leads the league this year in walks. Extremely good plate discipline. Also a .313 average last year, .465 OBP, a .534 slugging, and a .999 OPS. The dude is getting on base at a very high clip, even if he's not crushing the shit out of the ball. And he's, what is he, 22? What is he? Yeah, 1998. He's 20. He's 23 years old. 23, 284 days. Okay. Absolutely insane. And then the other return in that deal is Josh Bell. One-time All-Star, really is a productive first baseman. I think he's a very underrated baseball player. But in his one All-Star year in 2019, 37 home runs, 116 RBIs, a .277 batting average, a .367 OBP, a slugging of .569, and an OPS of .936. In every single season he's been in the league, he has hit over .250 except for 1 year. .273, .255, .261, .277, .226, .261, .303, and then .301. So when he was with the Nationals this year, before he got traded, he was hitting .303. But as of right now, that's actually that average still stands. So as of right now, now being on the Padres, .303 average, 14 home runs, 115 hits, 58 RBIs, an OBP of .388, a slugging of .492, and an OPS of .880. So just an incredible trade that literally people would not think could actually be pulled off. But it did, and it shocked the whole baseball world. And oh my gosh, I seriously still can't believe that they did it. Watching the game yesterday, seeing them out there on the field, you literally can't believe it. I bet as a Dodger fan, obviously they get everybody, but like I'm saying in general, like seeing Freddie Freeman like out there the first time is probably like, oh my gosh, we literally have Freddie Freeman. It's probably how it feels. So I don't know. It's just, I really don't know how to react to it and really how to explain it, because it seriously is just an amazing feeling, and I'm just very excited that the Padres really went out and got both of them, not just Soto, but also Bell as well. But now, this is why they do this, because we're chasing the division leader, Los Angeles Dodgers. And we play them today, tomorrow, and Sunday, right after we just pulled out that trade for those three bad boys, and it's in L.A., first game today, 7-10. First pitcher for the Padres on the bump is Sean Manaea. Not having a super good year, is a solid pitcher though. He will give you. And here, let's look at his stats. Here we go. ERA. Most years 3.86, 3.59, 3.91. Hovers around kind of like that mid 3.6 ERA to like low fours, mid fours. So solid in between rotational guy, but he's starting on the bump tonight. 4.25 ERA, 6-5 win-loss record. He's pitched 19 games, 111 strikeouts, 110 innings pitched with a 1.273 whip. So, definitely needs to work on that. Pitching tomorrow's Mike Clevinger. Glad he's healthy. Glad he's back in the rotation. 3.13 ERA, win-loss record of 3-3. Started 11 games, but has pitched in 12. 60 innings pitched. It's been a lot of rehab starts for him because he obviously came back from a freaking gnarly Tommy John injury and a knee injury prior to the year. He had Tommy John surgery, so just a big mess. 60 innings pitched, 59 strikeouts, a whip of 1.077. So really solid to have a guy 3.13 ERA. And then Darvish pitching Sunday, the last of the three-game series, 3.30 ERA, a win-loss record of 10-4, 20 games started, 20 games appeared, 120 innings pitched, 127 strikeouts, and a whip below one at 0.990. So those are the three guys we have in that pitching matchup for this weekend series in LA. And let me see real quick. I know who's pitching tomorrow for the Dodgers. It's Tony Gonsolin, and he's having an outstanding year as well. So we'll pull up his stats real quick. And then I know Sunday, Tyler Anderson is pitching. I don't remember the guy's name on Saturday because I remember seeing the, when I was watching the Padre game, they showed the graphic, but I don't remember who's pitching Saturday. So excuse me for not bringing that guy up. But so, like I said, today, which is a big game, first of the three, because it's literally going to set the tone for this series. We have Anaya for the Padres, like I mentioned, and we have Tony Gonsolin for the Dodgers. So his stats in the year, 12-1 win-loss record, 2.41 ERA, 19 games started, 104.2 innings pitched, 96 strikeouts, and a 0.898 whip. Dude is just absolutely dealing this year. He's absolute freaking, hey, first-time All-Star this year, killing it. And then Tyler Anderson on Sunday, another great pitcher to have, another ERA in the twos, a 12-1 win-loss record, 2.89 ERA, 20 games played, 18 games started, 115.1 innings pitched, 94 strikeouts, and a whip of 1.032. The guy is dealing. Also, his first All-Star appearance this year, kind of has been everywhere. It was a Rocky, Pirate, was in Seattle last year, is a Dodger now this year. It's just pretty incredible. So the Dodgers have been able to keep, you know, keep pace, man. Not even keep pace, keep the pace. Just been absolutely crushing it. Padres are always going to be chasing them. I still think they are the best team in the NL West and really in the NL. Padres, yes, getting Soto and Bell makes them very, they really, really can compete, obviously. We could compete before, but not as strong. But definitely have a roster to bolster now. So, yeah, all you baseball fans, just be on the lookout for this weekend series. It seriously is going to be an unreal experience. It's going to be the first of the matchup with having Soto and Bell in the lineup between Freeman, Mookie, Bellinger, all those guys. So, yeah, baseball on the West Coast, it's the shit, honestly. But anyway, thank you all for checking in for another episode. I will see you on the next one at Friday at 5 p.m. And also, we'll be releasing some videos later today. More so after the game tonight. Still doing my D-backs recap on TikTok. Yeah, trying to keep it that way. After the game, like, you know, live reaction of what happened. So, yeah, just stick around for that. I'll plug it again. What is it? It's Ballin' W, Tyler Todd. So, Ballin', the letter W, and then Tyler Todd is the TikTok. So, yeah, follow there. See live reaction of the D-backs probably losing to the Rockies tonight. But we'll see, because the Rockies are also a poverty franchise. So, we will see. But, yeah, stay tuned. See you next week at 5 p.m.